It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, Living Life in the Will of the God of Life. The text is from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17.
Tell you what let's do right now with our heads bowed. Let's sing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Let's sing it together with our heads bowed as our prayer, shall we? Trust that you are indeed a redeemed soul, and that what you just sang is out of the depth of your heart. There have been so many stories in the last few hours coming out of New York and Washington about the deliverance and protection God gave to various ones. I know that in your classes and your prayer groups, many of you have shared what you have known about God's great preserving power over those that are your family members or your friends. Dr. Hand was sharing with me yesterday the fact that when the attacks occurred in New York that third hour on Monday, a young lady asked if she could be dismissed from the class. She was very distressed. She said her brother-in-law worked in one of the towers, and then the next day, she was able to share the wonderful reality that he was spared. This young man's brother-in-law, who was his boss, who happens to be Steve Fisher, who went to school here, and whose father, Mr. Gene Fisher, is a retired member of the history faculty, whose brother, Dr. David Fisher, teaches history here and is principal of the academy. This young man's boss is Steve Fisher. He slept late that morning on Monday. And when the young man who came to work couldn't get into the office because his boss had the key, he went downstairs and waited outside looking for him. And while he was outside, one of the planes hit. And he was delivered. In that same class, I guess, one of the students said that a friend of hers, a girl working at the Pentagon, whose office was on the side where the plane hit, had been called away from her office at that time to another part of the building to receive an award for her excellent work. Mike Maynard's brother, B.J. Grad, married to Dr. and Mrs. Gustafson's daughter, Gail, was at the Pentagon in a dentist chair early that morning, and finished his appointment, left, got in his car, drove away. Moments later, the plane hit. His dentist was killed in the attack. Tuesday, I guess it was, I heard that the plane that hit the Pentagon was said to be destined for the White House, and at the last minute veered and hit the Pentagon instead. Hadn't been able to verify that until this morning. At the time I heard it, I said to my wife, it was prior to our going to the office, I said to my wife, you know, there were a number of American Association of Christian School state and regional representatives who were there for an annual meeting in Washington, who were at the executive office building at the White House, part of the White House complex, for a briefing. And at the very time, that plane hit the Pentagon. I said, you know, if indeed that plane was destined for the White House, I can't help but believe that God in his providence, turned that away for the sake of those 140 men who were there at the very time the plane was supposed to have hit. And in fact, they were evacuated along with everybody else at the time. This morning, I got an email from Gary Diedrich, who is on the staff at the American Association of Christian Schools. By the way, some of your dads were there in that group of 140. So you know what I'm saying. I'm sure you've heard it from them by now. Most of that 140, many of them, the vast majority of them, would have been graduates of BJU. And Gary Diedrich sent an email. I got it just before coming here. He said, by the way, while we were there, we looked overhead and saw an airliner, which we thought was very strange to be so low and so near the White House, suddenly turned just beyond the White House. It turned and went back, and that was the plane that hit the Pentagon. Evidently, the pilot had overshot the White House, which was its objective. And realizing he couldn't hit that, turned and hit his alternate target, a larger target, the Pentagon. I believe with all my heart that God spared those 140 servants of His, and of course, the White House and all the others who were there. But I cannot help but believe that certainly for in large measure it was for the fact of those 140 choice servants of His who were there. It brings me to the message, which is in James chapter 4. If you would turn there, please, to the concluding verses, starting with verse 13. I've entitled this, Living Life in the Will of the God of Life. Living Life in the Will of the God of Life. Verse 13 says, Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Living life in the will of the God of life. The passage says here in verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you and I live our life in the will of the God of life? Do we? It's the way we're supposed to live. The Bible says so. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The reference here is to people who live their life as though tomorrow will be the same as today. The people who were killed on Monday were living their life that way, as you and I live our life that way. We just assume tomorrow will be the same as today. We'll be just as alive. Things will be virtually the same. No major interruptions, no major calamities, no major overhaul of plans. If God will, those are the words that ought to surround everything we do every day of our life. If God will, I will get up and go to class today. If God will, I will go to lunch today. If God will, I'll get to my appointed workplace today to earn the money so I can stay in school. If God will, I'll graduate from BJU. Those words, if God will, first of all, I submit to you, they acknowledge God's sovereignty over life. The issue here is life. The issue is that people are presuming they're going tomorrow into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. But the Lord says, you don't know what is on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. If God will, I'll live another day. You see, you and I have no control over our life. You may think you do, but you have no control over your life. You have no control over tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. There were 4 students this summer who expected to be here with you this year. Justin Ridley, in the middle of July, in an accident at the Wiles, was called to heaven. A wonderful young man, a godly young man. Operations management major here at the university from Oak Ridge, Tennessee. His father and mother were graduates. His 2 sisters were graduates. He was serving God. His uncle, Dan Boone, is on the staff here. Couldn't have been a finer young man in the student body. God saw fit to promote him and take him to heaven. He's far better off than we are. He won't have to take any more tests. He won't have to fight sleepiness and drowsiness to stay awake in any more chapels. He's in glory. A few days later, in July, Heather Hamilton, who had been out of school for 3 or 4 years, died in an automobile accident down here in Anderson, South Carolina, on her way to the university to pick up some papers related to her re-enrollment. She was coming back to school. At her funeral, they sang "Lord, Send Me Anywhere," the song that she had sung the previous Sunday in church as a solo. She thought she would be up here with you right now. She's up there in glory. Oscar Velasquez, whose brother Jose has returned as a second-year student to the university. Oscar was planning to be here, a freshman young man, eagerly looking forward to enrolling, and God took him to heaven. He was killed. He was shot in an apparent incident of road rage on a freeway in California. Jim Martin, who would have been a senior this year, just returned from a Haiti mission trip. Outstanding young man. Loves God. His mother is a nurse at the clinic across the street. His sister is a student here. Becca is a student. He had 2 brothers who were students here. And he was having a routine surgery. And in the process of that, God allowed him to have a brain aneurysm, and he instantly went to heaven. Planned to be here to graduate this spring. And looking forward to serving God. He was a camp ministries major, I believe. They had plans, just like you have plans and I have plans. And they assumed that the Lord would allow them to fulfill those plans. But God had other plans. He had sovereign control over their lives, as He has over yours and over mine. How do you deal with the fact that you're not in control of your life? How do you respond in your heart to that? Is there great joy in the fact that there's a sovereign God who has control over you and knows better than you do about tomorrow and today? Or is that a source of anger and irritation to you, that you really don't have any say-so over your life? The condition of your heart will determine how you respond to that. Speaking of God's sovereignty over the affairs of men, and with reference to what is happening in our nation today, let me read you a portion of President Lincoln's proclamation appointing a national day of prayer and fasting. It was issued on March the 30th, 1863. Listen carefully to what he says about the sovereignty of God. "Whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in a humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And insomuch as we know that by His divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war which now desolates the land may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. Pause right here a moment. Could it be that the present desolation in our land is for the needful end that our national reformation as a whole people should be accomplished? We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious land which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in our deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. Did Abraham Lincoln acknowledge the sovereignty and rights of the Most High Creator God of heaven over this land? Of course he did. Did he acknowledge our dependence upon him and our offense against him? Of course he did. Would to God that that would happen in America today. Would to God that it would happen in your hearts and in my heart. Let's forget about the nation for a minute. For if it happens nationally, it will happen first in individual hearts. And if it doesn't happen first in contrite and broken and repentant and yielded hearts of God's redeemed people, then it won't happen for sure in the hearts of the ungodly. If God will, those words acknowledge God's sovereignty over life. Secondly, if God will, acknowledges a higher purpose of life. It acknowledges God's purpose of life. If God will, God has a superintending care and concern over what happens in this world. For all of His creation, all of mankind will answer to Him one day. You and I are here for but one purpose, to do the will of God, to be His instruments He can use and work through. Are you rebelling against that? Are you fighting against that? The people in this passage were. They said, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. To them, life consisted of buying and selling and getting gain. It was a materialistic purpose of life. That's what they lived for. That was their focus and reason for being here. What is your focus and reason for being here? What is your focus and reason for studying in BJU and getting a degree? Is it so you can make more money and get ahead in life? If so, you have absolutely the wrong understanding of what it's all about. You're no better than these people mentioned right here that the Lord rebuked so greatly in this passage of Scripture. Their problem was, they said, today or tomorrow, this world only. This is why we're here. We're here to get gain. We're here to be richer tomorrow than we were today. And the answer came back, you don't know what shall be on the morrow. Why were those people in those towers on Monday? They were earning a living. They were buying and selling and getting gain. They were just going about life as people always go about life in this world. Just like they were in the days of Noah, just like they were in the days of Lot, they were saying everything's going to be the same. We marry, we're giving in marriage, we're eating and drinking, we're having a nice time in life. Life's just going to go on. One day it won't. For those in New York and some in Washington on Monday, it didn't go on as normal. For you and me, one of these days, it won't go on as normal. There will be a divine interruption. Therefore, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for saying today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, buy and sell, and get gain. The Lord said, what is your life? It's not about buying and selling and getting gain. It's not even about existing. It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's not just to enjoy life and to get gain. It's to do God's will in life. You ought to say, if God will, we shall live and do this or that. The saying of those words, the meaning of those words from your heart, if God will, I will get up tomorrow and I will go to work and I will earn a living so that I can provide the necessities of life. But my life is not about those necessities. My life is about the will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Thirdly, the words, if God will, acknowledges the brevity of life. Those words acknowledge the brevity of life. That's the whole context of it here. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, we shall live. What if you learn today or tomorrow or next week that you have cancer, terminal cancer? Well, if your life has been about the will of God from the time you knew the Lord onward, you would say, this is the will of God. If God will, I shall live and be healed. And if He doesn't, I shall live on high. I'm going to live either way. It's just a matter of where I live in the will of God, down here or up there. We do a little thing here throughout the year. We haven't done it yet this year. Let's start it today. You old students will understand it, and I'll ask you to help the new students to come along with this. From time to time, I will stand up here in chapel and say to you, the most sobering reality in the world today is that, and you will respond to me, please, people are lost and going to hell today. Okay. People are dying and going to hell today. I'll say the first part, you complete the sentence. The most sobering reality in the world today is that people. Let's say it one more time. The most sobering reality in the world today is that people. Is that sobering to you? It ought to be. Because many of you will be in the community today, at work, shopping, whatever. And you will pass people, you will interact with people, you will have conversations with people who are dying and going to hell today. Mr. Al Carper of the business faculty and I were talking yesterday, and he said, you know, as we watched those scenes take place, we saw people by the thousands who were dying and going to hell that day. We watched it happen. The people on the airplanes, the people instantly carried into hell in the fireballs of the collisions, others very shortly thereafter in the flames and smoke that rose upward through all those floors, and some who were still in the building when the buildings collapsed. We saw those people going to hell Monday. How greatly I hope that among those who were not instantly killed, there were those who had received gospel tracts from somebody, or had sat in a Bible preaching church service somewhere, or had been earnestly witnessed to and whose souls had been pleaded over by a loved one or a friend, and that perhaps what they had heard was appropriated for them in that last moment, that they called out and pleaded to God for His saving grace and mercy for them. Surely there must have been many who did, because somebody was faithful to give them a witness. Will you be faithful today to give somebody a witness? To give them a gospel tract? To speak a word if you can to them? Because they will only live another day in this world if God will. And one day He will not will for them to be here anymore. And if they haven't heard from you that Jesus saves, and that it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, if they haven't heard it from you, very likely they will not have heard it. And what you do today in their life, in the sowing of some gospel seed, as I'm sure many had done for many who perished on Monday, will make the difference when that hour comes between heaven and hell. If God will, we shall live and do this or that. Life is brief. We shall live if God will that we shall live. And if not, we shall either perish in the prison house of hell, or we shall rise to realms on high and be forever blessed. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, if the scenes that we have witnessed in these last days does not impress upon us these truths, then surely our hearts are dead. Surely we are past feeling. Lord, may we never get over the fact that what we have seen was not merely terrorism, warfare, mass destruction, economic calamity. But Lord, the worst of all, before our eyes, thousands perished and went to hell. Lord, today let not one person be in hell because of our neglect, because we this day or any other day do not care. They should be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7.20 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.